Thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your life will be touched by the Spirit of Almighty God with constant and powerful truths that can be applied to your everyday life. Let's join Pastor Josh Gunter now.
And tonight, I want to focus on speaking in tongues. Ooh. Speaking in tongues. You know, that term by itself confuses a lot of people. Speaking in tongues. That there are a lot of Christian men and women, pastors, who love the Lord. They're doing what God, what they believe God has called them to do, but they speak very strongly against speaking in tongues. And there are others that speak about speaking in tongues, or they teach on speaking in tongues, and they a little bit of a twisted view of speaking in tongues. But that being said, there are millions of Christians out there and thousands of good pastors who are teaching according, you know, accurately. And so I don't want to seem like, well, everybody's teaching wrong but us in here. That's not the truth. There are a lot of good teaching on speaking in tongues and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But because there are a lot of different viewpoints and things like that, what I want to do is to, for us here at CMC, help us better understand speaking in tongues. And so I think that that is something that we should all obviously desire and want. Now hear me and know my heart when I say what I'm about to say. I don't say this to elevate myself or try to make you think, oh, he's super spiritual. But I've been speaking in tongues for 17 years. And this is something that I'm very passionate about. This is something that I have studied for a long time. And I know a lot of people, they have that same story, that same background. Some of y'all have been speaking in tongues longer than I've been born, longer than I've been walking. And so kudos to all y'all people. But others, you know, don't have that same background, that same story, but that's okay. Nothing's wrong with that. What's cool is God has put us together here in this church, different backgrounds, different upbringings, and he's brought us together to live life together, do life together as Christians, and to learn from one another. And I know that I personally have learned a lot from people with different backgrounds, and that's what I believe God has called us to be, the body, learning from each other and helping each other out. And so this is just something that I'm very passionate about and that I really enjoy talking about. And so I got to be careful to stick with my notes and not just start talking about how awesome it is. So I'm going to try to do that. Let's go ahead and start off in prayer and ask Holy Spirit God to reveal truth to us and to just move on us tonight. Holy Father, we love you. We give you thanks for all that you've done. We thank you for sending your son Jesus 2,000 years ago so we can be saved and be redeemed and born again. And I thank you that whenever he ascended back into the heavens, you didn't leave us alone, but you sent your Holy Spirit here with us. And he is here with us now. And so Holy Spirit, I just ask that you would reveal truth as your word says you do that and you teach us in all things. And so I just pray that you would do that. And I pray that you would fall on us tonight. We love you and we honor you. In Jesus' name, if you agree with that, say amen. Amen. All right. Well, I've been asked a lot of questions, not just, you know, I've been asked a few questions this week, but through the years, I've been asked a lot of questions about speaking in tongues. Why should I speak in tongues? What's the purpose of speaking in tongues? Is it for today? Whenever I speak in tongues, will I know what I'm saying? Or how do I begin speaking in tongues? What's the purpose of it? Will I know what I'm saying? On and on, all kinds of questions. Well, are you speaking an earthly language? Or I don't really get it. And so those are the questions that I really want to focus on today, trying to answer these and bring clarity to our minds. And these are questions you've probably had asked to you or you've asked, and they're all really good ones, and so let's dive into it. But before we get into this, I want to read a scripture to you. 2 Timothy chapter 3, 16 and 17 says, all scripture is breathed out by God. Everybody say God. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and training in righteousness, that the man of God may be competent and equipped for every good work. Okay, opinion, it doesn't say all opinions are good for teaching, or all personal thoughts are good for reproving or correction and training us and equipping us for the good work of God, but all scripture is good for training and teaching and reproving so that we can be competent in the word and competent to do and walk out every good work that God has prepared for us. And so it's through scripture that we should study. Through scripture we should reveal truth, and that way we can be trained. And it's breathed out by God, not by man. The men who was used to write the scripture, that wasn't their thoughts, their opinions. All of scripture was set up by the Holy Spirit, by God, right? It was inspired by God. And so when it says in the Bible, it's God saying it to us today. A lot of times apostles or the people who are writing in the New Testament, they were writing to a specific church. The book of Ephesians says it. They were writing to the church in Ephesus, Paul who wrote. But God was writing it to us today because it's for us today. Amen? All right. That being said, let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to stay pretty close to chapter 12, 13, and 14 today because there are, in all these chapters, there's quite a bit of knowledge and information about speaking in tongues. And we're going to start off here in verse 1. Paul, speaking to the church and the Holy Spirit speaking to us, says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed." So right here, God is telling us, I don't want you to be uninformed. I want you to get this. This isn't something that you have to be unintelligent on. This isn't something that's too hard to understand. God is saying, I want you to get it. I want you to understand it. And Paul, whenever he said this and he wrote it to the church, he starts giving instruction. And here he talks about, like, not just speaking in tongues, but he talks about a lot of spiritual gifts, healing, miracles, prophecies, things like that. And then he starts teaching on it. But it is something that we're supposed to get. Not too hard for us tonight. So don't go into this and not going, I can't get it. It's too hard for me. I remember going in class, and whenever I would go into math class, I'd go, yeah, I'm not going to get this today, and I wouldn't get it because I have purpose already. I'm not going to get this. It's going to be too hard. But let's not do that today with the Word of God. The first question that I want to answer is it for today? Now, I answered that about the baptism of the Holy Spirit last week, and so I'm not going to spend a lot of time on that, but is speaking in tongues for today? It's a real question. It's a good question. Is it something that I need to do today? Or did it die off with the apostles 2,000 years ago? Well, the teachers, there are a group of people, there are denominations that speak, yeah, it's not for today. It died off with the apostles at 2,000 years ago was the end of it, and we're done. And they use basically one verse to try to get this point across. And so let's go to this verse, and let's see what this verse says. Turn over to chapter 13, 1 Corinthians, and look at verse 8. The Bible says, love never ends, in verse 8. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. So, it's obvious, tongues will cease. There will come a point in time where we don't need to speak in tongues. And the question, though, is, when is that? And so the people who teach that, yes, speaking in tongues isn't for today, they look at this and say, see, tongues have ceased. It says tongues will cease. And then here's where they try to teach this is when tongues have ceased. Keep going. It says, for we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. Okay? So they say, when the perfect comes, speaking in tongues will cease. And I happen to agree with that statement. When the perfect comes, tongues, there'll be no need for tongues anymore, speaking in tongues. There'll be no more need for prophecy. There'll be no more need for gaining new knowledge because when the perfect comes, we'll have all the knowledge. And when the perfect comes, we won't need to speak in tongues. We'll understand that more as we start talking about the purpose of speaking in tongues. But when the perfect comes, we won't need to do that. But here's what groups of people say and try to deny. No, speaking in tongues isn't for today. They say when the Bible was completed, that was the perfect word of God. And so whenever the perfect came, then tongues ceased. So whenever the Bible was written and completed, the last book of the Bible was written, then tongues ceased right then and there. Which that by itself makes you really question why in the world would that take place. But let's look at this. If tongues cease when the perfect came, and if it was the Bible, then that means knowledge also ceased. is knowledge gone? Or we still need knowledge, right? We still need to be taught. If that wasn't the case, then we wouldn't be in here tonight trying to get knowledge. Nobody would go listen to a preacher trying to teach them if knowledge was gone. Prophecy's not all fulfilled yet. There's a lot of prophecy in the Bible that's not fulfilled, that we're still waiting for the second coming of Christ. Prophecy's not done. So how come tongues are done, but prophecy and knowledge, they're not done yet? See, the scripture is being twisted and perverted, and so, but if you keep reading, the Bible will show us, the Holy Spirit will show us when the perfect is. So let's keep reading here. It says, when I was a child, verse 11, I spoke like a child, I thought like a child, and I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways. Verse 12, for now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Come on, what's that talking about there? Face to face. It says, now I know in part, but then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. Come on, we all know that we're not perfect yet. I'm not perfect yet. And you can all say amen to that. Thanks, Dave. But when the perfect comes, there'll be no more need for knowledge, because the Bible says we will be fully known. We'll know. There'll be no more need for prophecy. There'll be no more need for tongues when we see Jesus face to face, and when the perfection comes. And perfection doesn't come until eternity, right? And at that point, tongues will cease. There'll be no point for it. As much as all, you know, you charismatic Pentecostal tongue-talking people wish it'll be in heaven, it's not. It, we'll be speaking possibly a heavenly language, but the need for tongues and all that stuff, there just won't be that, which would be cool because we'll be in the presence of Jesus, which is awesome. But so, are tongues for today? Yes, tongues are for today. We go back, listen to CD from last week, but for the sake of time, that's about all I can give you. Yes, tongues are for today. God doesn't change. He's the same today, yesterday, and forever. He gave these gifts to the church. The same group of people that say tongues cease with the apostles say there's no more apostles. Say that there's no more apostle living today. But in the book of Ephesians, the Bible tells us that he gave the apostles, the prophets, the teachers, the shepherds, the evangelists for the work of to equip the church for the work of the ministry. While there is a church on this earth, there will be evangelists, teachers, preachers, apostles. We need them all. And so there are still apostles today as well. So let's move on to the second question. And this is one where I want to spend the most time on. Why do I speak in tongues? That's the question I get asked more than any of them. Well, what's the purpose of speaking in tongues? I have had a lot of friends that say, all right, I believe speaking in tongues still happen today, but why? What's the purpose of it? Well, there are four essential reasons for speaking in tongues, and that's what, to answer that question. Four essential reasons for speaking in tongues. So when I say that, I mean, really, outside of these four, scripturally, I don't see any other reason to speak in tongues. The first one, or two of those, are for public use. And now some of y'all are like, whoa, I've never heard that before. Hang on, and we'll get there. Two reasons for speaking in tongues would be for public and not in private, while two reasons for speaking in tongues will be for private and personal use, and we're going to look at that in a second. This first one, the first two I want to look at for public use. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 22, you don't have to go very far since we're staying in this ballpark. Chapter 14, verse 22 says, thus tongues are a sign not for the believers, but for the unbelievers. So the first reason we have tongues, not necessarily in this order, but one reason why we speak in tongues is because the Bible says it's a sign for the unbeliever. And what does that mean? How is that in practice? Well, look in Acts chapter 2. That's exactly what happened. Whenever the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit fell down, and there was 120 of them, not in personal little prayer rooms. Nobody else can hear, but there was 120 of them, and they started speaking in tongues. And as they spoke in tongues, there were thousands of unbelievers below hearing what was going on, and they started like, what is that going on? There's a group saying, oh, they're all drunk. They're partying and sinning. Yet there was another group that said, no, there's something going on up there, and it started to draw them. Well, those people weren't Christians. They weren't believers. They were unbelievers. And so that was a sign for the unbeliever. They heard them speaking in their native languages. And so a sign for the unbeliever speaking in tongues a lot of times is will be somebody praying in tongues, speaking in tongues, and it'll be an earthly language that they've never been taught, and somebody else will hear that, and it'll be a sign to them. Now, this doesn't happen just a whole lot, but let me give you a modern-day story. We had missionaries come into our church that we knew real well, and the woman didn't know how to speak the native language of the... They were in India, I think, somewhere with a bunch of Hindus, and she didn't know the language. And she was in town one day, and then the interpreter... Well, neither one of them knew the language, and the interpreter was with her husband, and they were off kind of ministering to people. Well, the woman was walking around, and she saw this group of women, and she said, I just feel like I need to go minister to them, but I can't get the interpreter because my husband's ministering to another group of people. And so she just starts praying, God, what do you want me to do? And she starts praying in the Spirit. Well, as she starts praying in tongues, those group of women came to her. And she just looks at him and she continues to, she just feels, I need to speak in tongues. So she starts praying in tongues, and the women are doing this to their head. They have the little dots on their head, and they're pointing, and they're trying to talk to her. And she's like... You know, she's just praying in tongues, and she's thinking, what in the world's going on? Well, the interpreter comes to her now because she's kind of got a commotion going, and she goes, okay, great, I'm glad you're here. I need you to interpret for me. And she starts speaking about Jesus, how Jesus came to die for you so that you can live for him, and you can live for him with for eternity. And then it starts the gospel, starts presenting Jesus to him. And those women in their native tongue starts, you know, whatever, and pointing at their forehead. And the interpreter goes, they've already heard you tell them about Jesus. They want to know if they accept Jesus, should they wipe this dot off their head? How cool is that? And she's like, what? She was speaking in tongues, and there's a group of pagan unbelievers, and as she was speaking in tongues, that was a sign for the unbeliever. How cool is that? So a lot, this is an evangelical reason for speaking in tongues, because it's a sign for the unbeliever. And, well, for time, I got to move on, I think. Yeah, I better move on. But it's a sign for the unbeliever. That's the first reason to speak in tongues that we see here tonight. Second one, a public ministry, speaking in tongues given for an interpretation of tongues. We see this is one of the nine spiritual gifts in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. You turn the page over there, and you can see in chapter 12 where Paul says, look, I don't want you to be uninformed. And he starts teaching about the spiritual gifts. About these spiritual gifts, what you need to know are all these gifts, healing, prophecy, all that stuff is for ministry. Okay, it's not for your own personal life. It's for ministry. And so as he's speaking here, one of the things Paul says and the Holy Spirit tells us is after he tells about prophecy and healing and all that kind of stuff, verse 10, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who proportions each of them individually as he desires. So this manifestation, I forgot to read verse 4, look up, not verse 4, verse 7, says, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. So this supernatural manifestation of the Spirit of message and tongues interpretation, that is for ministry time. That is for the believers or however you want to view that, and where God sends a message in tongues and an interpretation. Well, why would God do that? Now, that's a question. Why don't he just give us a message? Because we don't know. We think with our minds a lot of times. We don't think with our spirit. And the Bible says when we pray in tongues, we're praying the Spirit. It's not our mind who prays, it's our spirit. And so God can download something into our spirit, and we can minister to people by giving a message in tongues and then there being an interpretation, which also can be a sign for the unbeliever. So it's a ministry that the Holy Spirit portions as he wills. Here's what you need to know. This isn't for everyone. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit gives this as he desires to certain people. And you keep reading through that chapter. The Bible says in verse 28, God appointed the church first apostles, prophets, teachers, miracle workers, the gift of healing, helping, administrating, various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? but earnestly desire these higher gifts? Well, the answer is no. Obviously, not everybody does those things. But every time the scripture is talking about tongues and then says, followed by interpretation of tongues, that is not a private prayer language. That is a ministry tool. Does that make sense? Are you following me? Yeah. Can I move on? Yeah. All right. This third reason for speaking in tongues for personal prayer and praise. This is a lot of fun. This is awesome. In fact, turn over to chapter 14. Back over to chapter 14. Here's what we've got to know as Paul speaking to the Corinthian church. They had it screwed up. The Corinthian church was messed up in several different ways, and they had all this mixed together. The message in tongues, the private prayer language, for signs of unbeliever, all these different things. They had the speaking tongues all kinds of messed up, and so he had to teach them, say, look, guys, here's the way this is supposed to look, and he starts teaching about the different, speaking in tongues. Look at verse 2. It says, for one who speaks in a tongue speaks not to men, but to God, for no one understands him, but he utters mysteries in the Spirit. Well, that seems like it contradicts itself, doesn't it? Doesn't speak to man, but speaks to God. No one understands. Well, then why the message in tongues? Why the sign for the unbeliever? They understood on the day of Pentecost. It's because God, through Paul, is not speaking of messages in tongues or sign for the unbeliever. He's talking about a personal, private prayer language that you pray to the Father God. So that is a personal, private thing, not for everyone in the church just to start speaking in tongues and it being a disruption and things going on, but it is a personal, private thing that we do between us and God. Keep reading. It says, on the other hand, the one who prophesies speaks to people, this is verse 3, for their upbuilding and encouragement and consolation. Verse 4, for the one who speaks in a tongue builds himself up, but the one who speaks prophecies builds up the church. So speaking in tongues for personal prayer and praise is not for anyone else but for you. See, our spirit man and our flesh man sometimes battle each other. Our spirit man and our flesh man really are separate, and there are times where our spirit needs to be built up and encouraged. Come on, you're depressed, pray in tongues. You're struggling with something, pray in tongues. You're doubting, pray in tongues. And I'm telling you, it will. For everyone who doesn't do it, they can't testify to this, but everyone who does it will say the same thing. Whenever I pray in the Spirit, something happens and my spirit is encouraged. That's for everyone. That's for us. We pray in tongues. Go on to read through some verses. Look over at verse 14. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. So it's your spirit praying, not your mind. What am I to do? I will pray with my spirit, but I will also pray with my mind. I will sing praise with my spirit, but I will also sing with my mind. Otherwise, if you give thanks with your spirit, how can anyone in the position of an outsider say amen to your thanksgiving when he does not know what you're saying? For you may be giving thanks, sure enough, but the other person is not being built up. I thank God I speak in tongues more than all of you. Nevertheless, in church, I would rather speak 5 words with my mind in order to instruct others than 10,000 words in a tongue. And that's why he says in verse 13, therefore, the one who speaks in a tongue should pray for the power to interpret it. Because speaking in tongues can cause a lot of chaos in the church when there should be teaching in the church. And so here he's talking about that personal, private language. We shouldn't be interrupting the speaker. We shouldn't be messing with the person beside us, speaking in tongues right there in their ear all the time, because it causes confusion and they can't praise God with you because they don't even have a clue what you're saying. So this praying in tongues is for a personal, private prayer and private praise that builds up your spirit. So that make you got that? There are times where I'll be singing to God, and I don't do this in public a whole lot, or ever, because I'm not a good singer, but I'll be singing, holy, holy, holy God, you are mighty, you are awesome, and I'll be singing this, and then all of a sudden I'll start praying or singing in tongues, and I'm singing praises in the Spirit. There are times where I'm praying, God, you are good, you are awesome, then all of a sudden I'll start praying in tongues, and it'll be doing basically the same thing, but in a heavenly language that builds my spirit man up. This fourth one is a very important one, and one that I think, if none of the others intrigue you, this should intrigue you. If you have any, does anybody here have some loved ones? No? Just a few? All right. Man, Does that mean I'm not your loved one? All right. This next one is praying in the Spirit, praying in tongues for intercession, for interceding for others. Turn to Romans chapter 8. We can pray in the Spirit whenever we don't know how to pray, and we can be praying for someone, and we don't even know what's going on. Look here at verse 26, chapter 8. Likewise, the Spirit helps us. Spirit's capitalized, Holy Spirit. Likewise, the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought to, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. There will be moments where you don't know how to pray, but you know you need to pray, and you could be interceding for someone that you don't even have a clue. Let me give you an example. My brother was a ranger in the Army, and he's been to Afghanistan, Iraq, and a lot of other places. And there have been moments where I'm just going about my day, then the Spirit would tug at my heart, and I'd have to start praying in tongues, and I didn't know what to pray, and I'd just start praying in tongues. And as I'm praying in tongues, and I'm praying to the Lord, all of a sudden, I start realizing that I'm praying for my brother right now. I don't know what's going on. I don't know what the situation is. I don't know if he needs supernatural protection. I don't know if he needs supernatural strength, but I know that he needs prayer, and so I'm just praying in the Spirit, because the Spirit bears witness with my spirit, knows what's going on, and I can pray to God without even knowing the situation. If you have friends or family that are living in other states, or they're just not with you in that moment, you know what's going on? You need to speak in tongues so you can be praying. Well, a lot of people, whenever we start talking about that reason for speaking in tongues, they'll say, well, why doesn't God just tell you exactly what's going on and you can pray? Well, first off, that might scare us to death. Somebody tells me, your brother's dying. If God said, hey, your brother's dying right now and he needs some, like, a miracle, I'm going to go, oh, my gosh, what's wrong? And mom, dad. See, the Holy Spirit doesn't always reveal everything to us. We don't need to know everything. Well, then why doesn't God just perform the miracle then without ever telling you? Because God still likes to usher in his will through people, whether you know it or not. God doesn't just make everything happen. He wants to use you to make it happen. All throughout Scripture, we see that. So the reason we speak in tongues and God allows us to do that and pray for certain people or things or situations, whether we know it or not, is because he still wants to use my voice and my lips and my tongue to do it, because Satan has no authority. There's power of life and death in your tongue. It doesn't say whether you know what you're speaking or not, but there's power of life in your tongue. And so there are moments of intercessory prayers. One more story before I move on. I was having a dream. The Bible says we'll have dreams and visions, and I was having a spiritual dream without a doubt, and I just went to bed. It was a normal night. I was still in high school, and I laid down in bed. I got to sleeping. I don't know what time. It was like in the middle of the night, and in this dream, I was on top of this mountain, and my arms were upraised over this dark city, and I just started praying in the Spirit, and I'm bawling, and I'm broken for this city. I don't know what's going on, but there's a darkness over the city, and I'm praying, and I'm speaking in tongues, and I'm crying out. Well, then I wake up, and I wake up because I'm being loud, and my flesh didn't know what was going on, but I wake up, and I'm in my bed, and I'm laying on my back, and my arms are upraised, and tears are just flowing out of my eyes, and I'm speaking in tongues, and I'm praying to God in tongues, and see, the spirit of intercession came on me, and I know that I was praying for some city that had a darkness over it, and I don't know all the details. I can't wait to get to heaven and ask God, well, what was that about? But I was praying in the Spirit, and I couldn't even go back to sleep because I knew someone needed prayer, something needed prayer, and so I'm praying in the Spirit. And the Lord used my prayer, I believe, to accomplish his will on this earth, because he likes to use us and he likes to funnel his will and his power through us. So that's why we need to pray and intercede in tongues. Are you with me? All right. So those are the reasons, the biblical reasons for speaking in tongues. Now we have to ask the question, is it for everyone? Those are great. It's for today. Those are the reasons. Is everybody supposed to do it? Simple and quick answer is no. Not everyone's supposed to do it. But yes, everyone's supposed to do it. God desires everyone to do it. What do I mean by that? Okay, again, we got to remember the different reasons and different purposes, right? There is a public ministry and a public gifting of speaking in tongues and interpretation, and the Bible says, no, not everybody does that. The Holy Spirit portions only as He desires. It says you need to earnestly desire those gifts, but no, not everybody's going to do that. And in reality, not everybody is ever going to speak. There are some people that are saved and they're never going to speak in tongues, but that doesn't mean it's not for them. But not everyone is supposed to speak in tongues in public arenas. In fact, Paul is very specific, and because it can get way out of hand, he says, in church, you don't need to be doing this, everyone, okay? Just a few, but you can earnestly desire. And then we go on, and what about our personal prayer language? Well, yeah, that is for everyone. If we read Scripture, Acts chapter 19, Acts chapter 10, Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 8, whenever the Holy Spirit fell on them and they were baptized in the Holy Spirit, the evidence of the baptism was they all began speaking in tongues. So if you're baptized in the Spirit and he's fallen on you, you speak in tongues. It's a baptism of fire and of power, and that's the evidence of what just took place. So everyone is supposed to have that private prayer language of God between you and God. Everyone has the ability to intercede in the Spirit. And so it is for everyone, but it's not for everyone for certain. See, that's where people get all kinds of mixed up and screwed up. And in Acts or in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, when everybody starts saying, see, look, it's not for everyone, it's not for everyone, you got to realize what tongues is being spoken of here, what it's talking about. Speaking in tongues is for you, it's for everybody, but not the message in tongues, sign for the unbeliever. So, now you may be asking, if it is for me, how do I start? Because I want it. How do I start doing this? How do I start praying in tongues? You may ask, will I know what I'm saying? That's a lot of people. Do I know what I'm going to be saying? Remember, no, you're not, because it's your spirit praying, not your mind. It's something that you don't know. Now, unless God gives you the interpretation, and He can do that, as you're praying in the Spirit, He can say, this is what you're praying, and then you can understand what it is you're saying. But no, you most of the time, you don't know what you're saying. So how do I start? Now, remember, it's a physical evidence of being baptized in the Spirit. You can't pray in tongues. Now, you can yabba-dabba-do, and it's not the real thing. I heard an evangelist one time, and I just got to go on a rabbit. I got a rant. Is that the word? I ran a little bit. I heard an evangelist one time trying to teach a church how to speak in tongues one time, and he had on a tie, and he says, okay, repeat after me. Can you believe that? He pulls this tie up and says, all right, repeat after me. See my tie. And he's trying to teach them how to speak in tongues. That's not speaking in tongues under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. You can always tell when somebody's lying and they're just speaking in tongues because they say things like, bought a Nissan, should have bought a Honda. You know what I mean? Okay, so you can fake a lot of things, right? All right, so hear me out. But under the true anointing of the Holy Spirit, and we know that's goofy because nobody should buy a Honda. No, I'm just messing with you. You know God wouldn't say that. That was funny. I don't care who you were. That was funny right there, wasn't it, Ben? I didn't make that up. I heard that from someone else. Anyway, where was that? Oh, yeah. Speaking in tongues. That's what I'm talking about. There is a real situation where you can fake it just to get out of the prayer line. Okay, yeah, blah, 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 and it's fake. But there is a real, true anointing, and the Spirit will bear witness with your spirit. How do I know I'm saved? Because the Spirit bears witness with my spirit. How do I know it's the true anointing and I'm speaking in tongues? His Spirit will bear witness with your spirit. And you just know, because you're sitting there and you're praying, or you're in your car, or you're here at church up front, or you're sitting in the back, or you're going to the restroom, whatever it may be, the Spirit will start rising up inside of you, and you'll know. You'll have a tugging on your heart. I need to pray in tongues. I need to do this. I know it's for me. And you just got to step out in faith and start speaking those first words, and they'll start coming to you. Last week, a lot of you, I've heard several stories of several men and several women who had an encounter with the Holy Spirit. They said, I started shaking, and I started getting hot, and my neck started burning up. And somebody said that you just felt like God touched you on the shoulder and it just like went all over you. Other people, I got to tell one story. Jesse said I could tell it briefly if I tell it real briefly, but he's had a lot of back pain, a lot of bad stuff going on with his back, disc going into his spinal cord, pinching a nerve, bad stuff. Well, as we were praying, he said he felt the Holy Spirit from the bottom up, just this power and that pain went away, and he's been pain-free, hasn't been having to take any of his medicine. Cool stuff. Well, that was the Holy Spirit moving on him, because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom, and he got free that night from back pain. And other people said, it just felt like God started from the top of my head and went down to my feet. God's God. He can do whatever he wants. So I don't care if he starts from the bottom or the top, but I just want him. I want more of him. But see, that may have just been a measure and a portion of God's Spirit on you. And I'm here to encourage you, there's more. God, Holy Spirit is sitting here today, and he's saying, there's more. Oh, there's more. And that gifting of speaking in tongues and all of that, it just kind of gets you excited. It's good stuff.
We hope that you've been blessed, encouraged, and motivated by today's message. For more messages or information about Christian Ministries Church, go to www.cmchurch.net.